reconvene the House Special Session Committee on Budget Restoration and open a work session on House Bill 4070. We'll hear from staff.
Mr. Chair, Vicki Yates with Legislative Revenue Office. House Bill 4070, you have before you, and you should have also two amendments, 4070-1 and -2, and you may have a third, which my understanding is adds the ballot title and essentially the provisions of 4071 into 4070.
Correct.
Okay. I don't have a copy. But anyway.
Oh, here.
I don't have a copy.
If you all move to the port side of the ship, we could capsize.
Okay.
I'm going to
excuse me for one moment.
All right.
You need to put the paper.
Okay. Aye.
Mr. Chair, what 4070 does.
Could we have some quiet, please?
Thank you. Is to direct the treasurer in connection with the director Bass to issue bonds, which are cigarette tax revenue bonds, to produce $250 million in net proceeds. The revenues that are pledged are any cigarette taxes from the law which was passed after September 1 of 2002. So this clearly applies or would apply to the Measure 20 tax increase before the voters on September 17th. The bill specifies where the net proceeds will go. You've got $160 million going to the state school fund, $16 million to the Community College Support Fund, $31.5 million to the Department of Higher Education, $26 million to the Department of Corrections, $5 million to the Department of State Police, $6.5 million to the Oregon Youth Authority, and $5 million to the Department of Human Services. The bill is the usual type of bonding bill where it specifies the activities essentially that may be undertaken in connection with marketing these bonds. It limits the maturity to 6 years, so the issues may not have a maturity date more than 6 years after they are issued. The revenue impact, you should have a copy of, and what that's showing there, again, is the positive revenues for 2001-03, which result from the net proceeds of bonds. The numbers then in the 03-05, 05-07, and 07-09 years are negative, indicating the debt service payments that are required through issuing these bonds. The debt service is the way that the bill is set up. It gives a superior claim on the cigarette tax revenues from Measure 20 to the payment of debt service. So the apportionment factors in the bill apply to whatever revenue is left after the debt is serviced. So about 97% of this is essentially paid out of the health plan, monies that would otherwise go to the health plan. And then, as you can see, small amounts from the tobacco cessation and the local government. Do you want me to go through the amendment?
Let's go through the amendment. Any questions of Mr. Yates from committee on the explanation of the bill? Let's go through the amendment.
All right.
The new dash ones. Right?
Hello? The first amendment is on page one.
This year's on March.
And the effect of that is just to make the word transfer plural, transfers, so that whatever the transfers don't have to all be made at once.
It is my understanding, Richard, that the dash ones and twos were at the suggestion of the treasurer.
The twos pretty much follow what the treasurer was suggesting. The dash one, let's see. Mostly wording changes, and I really don't know the source.
I was going to say, this looks like, the reason I said treasurer is because they look like pretty technical amendments.
Yes.
That,
yes.
Okay.
The dash, in line three of the dash one amendment, the page four, delete line six. This seems to be a bit of a problem to me, but it may be that I'm dishonoring. By deleting, on page four, let me get to page four. Line six, you delete the entire line which begins with subsection two. The cigarette tax bond fund is continuously appropriated, and you substitute language which reads, monies in the cigarette tax bond fund are continuously appropriated to the Oregon Department. If you take out the section number, you've got to renumber the sections. I think the intent is to leave the section number in there and not make that language part of subsection one. So I think that's what is intended here. If that remains subsection two, that the language be changed.
Do we need a conceptual amendment to do that here?
In my opinion, yes.
Let's go through that as we go so we can consider that as a whole. Chair, I'll entertain such a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we conceptually amend the dash one, the structure of the program, to insert the word continuously on line four of the amendment after R, so it reads funds are continuously appropriated.
Everyone familiar with the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Any objections? Motion carries.
Again, the next amendment on line five of the amendments is in line seven, again on page four, deals again with making transfer plural, substituting transfers. Then moving to page five of the bill, line 28, you have the same problem as you did with the first one. You do not need to add continuously because that was left in. But you do have the problem, I think, with the deleting the subsection number. And Mr. Cotton, I would like him to come to you, because I may be all wet.
Harrison Conley from the Office of Legislative Counsel. Please bring me up to speed on what you'd like me to comment on.
You have a copy of the A1, the dash one amendment to 4070. Let's look at the line three, where it says on page four, delete line six. My problem, and maybe it's only my problem, is that in deleting line six, you delete the section number, and you have not reinserted that subsection number two.
Okay, so we're on
page four, line six
page
of the bill.
Four, line six. Well, you're right. You certainly do need that subsection number.
Okay. Good. I'm glad I'm right. Great.
So, do we need an amendment to?
There are three of those. Do you either want to wait?
Yeah, let's take them all and.
Okay. Moving on then, the next amendment is on page six, line two of the bill. You're deleting all of line two after remaining and deleting lines three and four. And inserting new language which reads after depositing the net proceeds in the cigarette tax bond fund.
Okay.
So just.
Any questions, Mr. Yates?
Mr. Chair, committee, I'd just like to clarify that we've used the term net proceeds to refer to the $250 million in bonds that you're going to raise. there is also a portion of proceeds that are used for costs and expenses of the bond. So that's what we were doing here, clarifying that it is the net proceeds of $250 million that we're discussing here. That was the point of this clarification.
Fair enough.
Moving down to line 11, then we delete line 10. And this is, again, the there's no change in the language from the original dash 1, but again, you have the problem of deleting the subsection number. So that's the conceptual. So the conceptual amendment would be, again, on page 4, line 6, on page 5, line 28, and on page 6, line 10, to reinsert the subsection number there, which is subsection 2.
Representative Morgan?
Mr. Chair, I move that in the dash 1 amendment that we conceptually amend line 3 to read on page 4, delete line 6, and insert 2 in brackets, and then monies in the cigarette tax bond fund are continually appropriated to the Oregon Department, and that we further conceptually amend on line 11 to have it read delete line 10 and insert in brackets the number 2 and then monies in the cigarette tax bond administration fund.
And then don't we need line 6? Is that it?
There are 3 of them.
Yeah.
Line 6, page 5.
What? Line 6, page 5.
The same number.
Okay. I further conceptually amend the dash 1s on line 6 to read on page 5, delete line 28, and insert the number 2 in brackets, monies in the cigarette tax bond.
Questions? Any discussion to Representative Morgan's conceptual amendment? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Now we have the last amendment, substantive amendment, is on line 13 of the dash 1 amendments, which deletes lines 18 through 22 of page 6 and effectively deletes all of section 6, the last 3 amendments, then just renumbering thereafter. And maybe Harrison could speak to the her intent.
Mr. Chair, well, let me confirm, first of all, as Representative Morgan read her conceptual amendment in line 4, we've re-added the continuously appropriated for that first fund. In that case, then I would suggest that you keep this expenditure limit. We were removing the expenditure limit because the funds were not continuously appropriated. I believe it would be my understanding that there were some discussions with LFO, and if we feel strongly that we need to continuously appropriate the fund, then we should retain the legislature's control with the expenditure limit. Essentially, I'm suggesting that we do not delete line 18 to 22.
Representative Morgan has moved. Based on,
I would move that you conceptually amend the dash 1 amendment to
include
to
include lines 18 through 22.
You can do that.
We're going to delete line 13 of the proposed amendment.
The line.
We'll delete lines 13 through 16.
How about? Representative Morgan moves that we delete lines 13, 14, 15, and 16 of the dash ones. And Representative Morgan has so moved. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Okay.
I think we're done with the dash ones.
We're done with
we have amended the dash one. To the point where we think we want them. Any other suggestions, Harrison?
Mr. Chair, not from this chair. Not from this seat.
I understand.
Sure. Mr. Chair, I move that we move the dash ones as amended and conceptually amended into House Bill 4070.
Representative Morgan has moved the dash one amendments as amended and conceptually amended into House Bill 4070. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, the dash two amendments. First Amendment is on page 3. In line 6.
Next one.
And this amendment will be made several times. It's to substitute essentially for the language principal and interest on the revenue bond or related obligation. Simply substitute for that language bond related cost.
Okay.
Line 28 and 29 are deleted, and the language is changed, substituting in there the existing language reads to complete the word treasurer. Revenue bonds issued under this section may not have an established maturity period of more than 6 years. It substitutes that for that treasurer, then a series of revenue bonds issued under this section may not mature more than 6 years from the date of issuance of the series of bonds. And I think the confusion there might be if you had more than one issue and that the sum of the issues extended over 6 years, you might have a problem with this. That's fairly simple.
And Mr. Chair, I would, if I could, I would say I don't believe that this constitutes a change in the meaning of the language at all. But this language was suggested by bond counsel. If that makes them feel more comfortable, I don't believe it's any different from what we wrote.
I appreciate the treasurer's collaborative assistance on this project.
Moving on to page 5, line 20, you have the same substitution of bond-related costs for the language in the bill, principal, interest, and premium. On line 29, you're deleting the rest of the line after the first B and substituting
where are you?
Page 5, line 29.
Right.
Essentially delete everything after the B, first B, which is principal of and interest, and then in line 30 you delete the rest of the word interest and premium, comma, if any. And again, substitute for that language bond-related costs.
Okay.
In line 35, again, you delete principal of and interest and premium, if any, and substitute bond-related costs. And these are all treasurer requests. Again, in line 39, you do the same thing. On page 6, line...
Just a second. Harrison, do you have any comments on the stuff we're doing on page 5?
Mr. Chair, I would just say that bond-related costs is a term that is defined in Section 1 of the draft. It is broader than principal, interest, and premium. What we have is two separate accounts, one for debt service and one for administration, at least in name. And so what this does is allows us to pay all bond-related costs out of either fund. There is some difference in the sources of revenue for the two funds.
So do you feel this confuses, these amendments confuse those definitions?
No, Mr. Chair, I think that there is probably some benefit in going to the defined term.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, page 6, line 27, the last time. You do the same thing.
Okay.
And that completes the dash two amendments.
Representative Morgan.
Yeah, I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 4070.
Representative Morgan has moved the dash two amendments to House Bill 4070. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Yeah, I believe you have an amendment or a conceptual amendment to hold House Bill 4071 into 4070.
Correct. Right. And what we do... Steve, in the nick of time, Bender, enter and sign in, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve Bender, Legislative Fiscal Officer. Your question?
Well, Virginia has, Virginia, maybe you should come to the dais. Joan. Well, Wayne will get to be 11 o'clock, and I won't be able to see any shade, but I'll tell you that.
Yes, I would turn it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Members of the Committee, Joan Robbins from West Texas. What is the number?
Let me just come to you today.
Your copies of the dashboard.
Yeah. Just for clarification purposes, Mr. Chair, the dashboards are the amendment to fold 4071 into
47. They also change the dash one to the dash two, except that, of course, they don't include the amended version of dash one that you just got. So what I will explain is how that changes the rest of the dash four, and I'm not the election person, instead of the election person, and he can tell you what it really does. On page two, the boldface language is the beginning of the new election part that's being added. And if you folded it in with the other amendments, if you had adopted the dash one amendment without change, you would have started with section 8. But you changed them. You put a section back into the bill, but the dash one took out. So you're going to, it's just going to change the number. So it'll be section 9 in the final set of amendments. So it'll say section 9, section 10. And those are the only changes, and that's the only thing that's confusing. The substantive part of this is set.
Let's take care of the first problem first. And I explain this very slowly in two-syllable words. The stuff we just did in the dash ones countermands the dash fours, at least as far as the section titles are concerned.
It does. On page two
of the dash four.
Four at line... Okay. On page one of the dashboard, at line 9, in order to comply with what you just did, we would insert continuous. But we can do all this when we make you a final version, because we know what you adopted. So the current, as adopted now, this part of this amendment, on line 9 of page 1, after R, you would insert continuously.
All right.
On page 2, you would delete lines 3 and 4.
Okay. And then we get to the section number.
Then you would delete line 7.
Okay.
So, and then what you did in the dash 1, that doesn't matter because this will override it. Then you get to the section numbers starting at line 9, and instead of section 8, that would say section 9, section 10, and so on. And then on the last...
So every section is then added to by one.
Yes. X plus one. And then at the very end, page 5, at line 30, instead of saying delete 9 and insert...
Wait, where are you, Joan?
Page 5, just line 30.
Line 30, okay.
Instead of saying delete 9 and insert 13, just say delete 9 and insert 14. now turning it over to somebody who knows substance.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Theodore?
Mr. Chair, Ted Redner, Legislative Council. What this amendment does is take the provisions of House Bill 4071 and tuck it on to the end of House Bill 40. 4071 was the bill that specified the ballot title, the fiscal estimate, and the explanatory statement for the referral of House Bill 4070. We simply changed the language a little bit from 4071 when we put it in here to include language that directs the Secretary of State to print this particular ballot title on the ballot, to include this particular explanatory statement in the voter's pamphlet, and to print this particular fiscal estimate on the ballot and in the voter's pamphlet. And that is what these amendments do.
Any questions? Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ruttlinger, this is not, of course, the normal practice to insert the ballot title into the substantive matter. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin,
if I see somebody coming up very quickly.
That's why we call them, a special session.
Defer to the Legislative Council on that question.
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, our research discloses that this particular form of a measure with the ballot information included in has occurred twice. Both times, the last time, your party controlled both chambers, and the governor and the secretary of state were of the other party.
Mr.
Chairman, Mr. Chamoff, as people here at the dais know, I sometimes disagree with the actions of my own party also. But given that there is this precedence of this occurring, has it ever been tested?
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, no.
So this could be subject to challenge. You would anticipate it to be subject to challenge.
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, during the course of my tenure here, I put aside trying to anticipate what the Executive Department will do. The Secretary of State would certainly be within his right to inquire of the Attorney General whether the directions in this bill were those that the Constitution required him to obey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions?
Representative Johnson.
I have one that is ancillary but related. Ballot Measure 20 is already out in the voter's pamphlet that is in the voter's hands. Some voters have already voted. We're asking people of Oregon to dedicate cigarette taxes to the health plan and tobacco cessation and local government. And I can quote the lines here. If that's approved by the people through the action that we're taking now, we'd ask the voters to rededicate the money that they've just approved to backfilling the general fund. Can you help me reconcile the difficulties I'm having with that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, if I understand your difficulty, at least from a legal standpoint, it would be solved by the constitutional rule that, to the extent that there are measures that conflict, the later one controls.
Okay. That's your legal opinion. I will just speculate out loud that a political opinion might be slightly different in terms of what chances we're going to have to pass the cigarette tax. And I'm not necessarily asking for a response.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, thank you.
I would allow that the practical difference is an additional $487 million revenue loss, which I hope the public is sensitive to, that complicates the issues that we are all dealing with.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
just a follow-up and a clarification on one issue, because I've asked this question before, but I seem to get a disagreement of opinions about the measure, is that should the voters turn down the increase in the cigarette tax in this special election, will there be a revenue source to pay for these bonds, or is all of this moot at that point?
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, I hope someone in my office who may be more familiar with the terms of the bonding portion will leap to my rescue if I start to speak inaccurately, but my recollection is that the measure that you have before you will permit the bonding of any new revenue source. If the voters do not adopt Measure 20, then there will not be, at that time, a new revenue source for this particular measure to make use of, but there could be one in the future if a new revenue source is adopted by this body of the people.
Mr. Chairman, clarification. Mr. Chamoff, then by that understanding, there is no way that if there's no new revenue source created, that this bonding measure could encumber the cigarette tax that's already enacted and already being collected. Is that correct?
Hold on. State, would you like to come up and answer that question? I see you shaking your head back there. Thanks, Ben. How am I doing for bailing you out, Craig?
Mr. Chair, it depends on how she answers.
Yeah.
Restate your question, please.
Richard. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the voters turn down the measure that's on the September ballot, and if we provide no revenue, new revenue source after September 1st, 2001, which I believe is the date mentioned in the bill, there is no way that this measure can encumber cigarette taxes already enacted prior to that date. Is that correct?
For the record.
For the record, State Richardson, Oregon State Treasurer. Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, it's our view of this measure that it only would apply to any cigarette tax revenues approved after September 1st, 2001. So the answer to your question that it would is no, it would not touch any existing cigarette tax revenues.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for Mr. Chamoff. I'm thoroughly confused now. So, Mr. Chamoff, in a legal sense, are you saying that if both Measure 20 and this measure pass at the polls, that the 17th vote on 20 doesn't count?
Harrison, do you want to come up and...
you can back me up. Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, if Measure 20 passes and then the measure that House Bill 4070 proposes passes, both laws are valid.
Right.
To the extent that the measure that the law that HB 4070 proposes conflicts, comes up with a different use for the funds than was proposed in Measure 20, then this referral, as the later adopted, would trump the earlier one.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions of this staff? Kate, did you want to say something?
I just want to clarify an earlier answer by the legislative council. I believe that should this measure not pass, then any revenue bonds, no, if the tax does not pass, then any revenue bonds that the treasurer would be authorized to here would have to be cigarette tax revenue bonds, not just any revenue bonds.
So we would, to utilize this bonding revenue, have to pass an additional cigarette tax.
Yes.
Fair enough. Okay. Are the scribes
Describing. I think I've got it.
I think we have a good handle here. So, Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a motion.
I am ready for a motion.
I would move that we amend the dashboard, successfully amend the dashboard, so that on page 1, line 9, we add the word continuously, so it reads funds are continuously appropriated.
Okay.
On page 2,
yeah.
We delete line 3, we delete line 4, and we delete line 7.
Right.
On line 9, we renumber section 8 to read section 9. On line 12, we renumber section 9 to read section 10. On page 3, on line 13, we renumber section 10 to read section 11. On page 4, line 25, we renumber section 11 to read section 12. On page 5, line 17, we renumber section 12 to read section 13. On page 5, line 30, we amend the number 13 to be 14 so that the line now reads in line 36, delete 9 and insert 14. And that is
well done. Any discussion of the motion? Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just for clarification, we are only discussing the conceptual amendments to dash 4. That's correct.
We are amending the dash 4 motion.
Amendment.
Correct.
But we are not taking final action on the dash 4 amendment.
Correct. We are amending the dash 4.
Okay. Thank you.
Any discussion? Any objection?
Yes. One objector. The record show, Representative Johnson objects to amending the dash 4.
Seeing no other objections, so ordered. Representative Morgan.
I move that we move the dashboards as amended and conceptually amended into House Bill 4070.
Representative Morgan has moved the dashboard amendments as conceptually amended and amended into House Bill 4070. Any discussion? Any objection? The record show Representative Devlin and Representative Johnson object. Seeing no other objection, motion carries. Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4070 as amended and conceptually amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan has moved that House Bill 4070 as amended and conceptually amended be moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
On two previous occasions, I have voted for bonding, and I have voted for overriding the governor's veto on a bonding measure. In both of those cases, I voted for bonding because it was part of a package that resolved our current budget crisis at that time. And I voted for overriding the governor because it not overriding the governor would have resulted and did result in an immediate cut of $50 million to K through 12. What we have before us now is not a complete package. What we have before us now is also something that we as a body clearly have the authority to enact. And we clearly do not operate under any other scenario that we have previously in terms of we are obviously not changing the Constitution, so we don't have to refer this to the voters. There's no indication that there's any interest out there that is going to, by referendum, take our action to the voters and thus delay this possible remedy. So I see no reason why we can justify referring this out to the voters rather than simply taking the action ourselves, which is what we were basically voted to do, or voted in office to do, is to take action. So with that, I will be voting against this. Now, should some date in the future bonding be part of a package that's put together that will resolve our funding issue, I will evaluate that funding, and if it's to the benefit of Oregonians, and particularly if it's the benefit to K through 12 and to education as a whole, I will probably cast another vote in favor of it. But here tonight, I'm not going to vote to refer a measure that we don't have to refer.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 4070 as amended by the dashboards to the floor of the House? Representative, do you pass recommendation?
No, you get to vote one person. Representative Devlin and Representative Johnson object. See no other objections. House Bill 4070, as amended both conceptually and through amendment, is moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. We will close the work session on House Bill 47 and open the work session on House Bill 4071. We did indeed, but we are going to move.
Okay.
What does that have to do?
Separately,
as is, unless there's any amendments I don't know about.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
You have a quick staff summary and we'll.
And I've got one here. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 4071, without amendment in front of you, is a bill that would establish the ballot title financial estimate and explanatory statement for House Bill 4070. You've had a discussion of House Bill 4070, so I need not recap, I think, for you what right. that proposal does. The language is explicit, has been developed, provides the required information for the ballot and voter's pamphlet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions, Jack?
Why are we doing this? We have we just incorporated, we're moving them both simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're attempting lots of attention to that.
Sorry, silly me. A freshman mistake.
Yeah. Any other questions, Representative Johnson?
No, I'll let that stand as my explanation for a no.
Yeah. That's good. That'll move the process forward. Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4071 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan has moved House Bill 4071 to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any questions? Any objections? I think Devlin got his up first. Ted, do you want to say something?
I'm a nervous lawyer. That's a bad sign. Mr. Chair, Ted Ruttinger, Legislative Council. We just thought of an issue that we hadn't thought of, which was if both of these pass, the material that you just amended into 4071 is slightly different than the material in 4070. That's something that we just thought of right now. Obviously, if this bill were not to go forward and the other one applied, then you would have no problem. But if, for some reason, they both made it through the entire process, you would have this bill directing one particular ballot title and the other bill directing another. So I'm thinking that we need to put into perhaps this bill a statement that says that if the other one goes, that this one is repealed so that there's not a conflict between the ballot title in 4070 and the one in 4071, for example.
Maybe that's why we invented the Senate, so they can pick that on that side.
Mr. Chair, that would certainly be an option for you.
Mr. Chairman, respectfully, that might be why we invented lawyers, too, so we don't make mistakes.
Let the record show that Representative Johnson has equated the Senate and lawyers in the three professional classification. You can walk over that there, the building there. Unless the committee would like to amend that. Do we know what's happening upstairs on the floor, Todd? Are they? Could you be more precise? Are they waiting for us? How much is this going to slow down your copying? Where is Greg?
He's out copying.
It shouldn't slow the process down very much.
If we make the changes now.
Yeah.
Representative Morgan, would you be willing to withdraw your motion?
I most certainly would, Mr.
Representative Morgan has withdrawn her motion. Theodore, give me some language. Steve, you look concerned back there. You want to come up and Okay. You look over his shoulders. And if you knew the brain power assembled at that table, you would have a great deal of confidence in this process.
No, you wouldn't. Mr. Chairman and Madam Administrator, can we not make a conceptual amendment? Can we not pass a conceptual amendment?
Yes, we can.
That the language in, without going through every jot and tittle, that the language in 4071 will be identical to that within the body of 4070.
Steve, Ted, can we make a general conceptual amendment that the language amended into 4070 be made consistent as a conceptual amendment into 4071?
Mr. Chairman, the reverse was my suggestion.
So that 4071 is consistent with 4070, is that?
But which way do you want it?
Mr. Chair, legally, it would be more precise to have 4071 stand on its own and reflect the titles that you want. What we could do is amend 4071 to put in exactly the same ballot titles and financial estimates and everything that you just amended into 4070. And then put in language that says that sections 8 through 13 of 4070 are repealed if this one becomes law, so that it would control. If this one doesn't become law, then the 4070 material that you just did would control. So the amendment to 4071 would basically say that if 4071 becomes law, Sections 8 through 13 of 4070 are repealed, so there wouldn't be a conflict.
So is it fair to say in a motion we would make that if House Bill 4071 becomes law, that we would repeal the sections 8 through 13 in 4070 to become consistent with House Bill 4071.
Correct.
The chair so moves.
Mr. Chair, if I might just get another clarification from Ted. Did you also say that the ballot title, explanatory statement, and financial estimate from 4070 it should also be inserted into 4071?
Yeah. And that was implicit within my motion. Everyone should have known that. The chair has moved. We send House Bill 4071 as conceptually amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Oh, no. We have to accept the chair moves. We conceptually amend House Bill 4071 as discussed. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman? For the record of clarification,
yes.
We are going to amend, take a second motion to send the
yes,
to the
correct,
floor.
Correct. Any discussion? Any objections?
I'm going to object.
Representative Johnson objects. Seeing no other objections, the amendment, the motion to amend, so carries. The chair now moves House Bill 4071 as conceptually amended. Let's see who goes first. The chair moves House Bill 4071 as amended conceptually to the four House representatives with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? Devlin Goddard. Seeing no other objections, House Bill 4071 as conceptually amended is moved to the four House representatives with a due pass recommendation. So ordered.
Carrier?
I'll carry. We now will recess the special House Committee on Budget Reconciliation until further and probably 5 minute notice. Thank you.
I'm stealing your pen and your book.